Life Engineering, processes that combine science, wisdom, and spirituality to build a life of alignment. Joining Dr. Pat is your host, Gabriella Embon, bringing you bi-weekly wisdom nuggets, your step-by-step guidance to build a life of no regrets. Stay tuned as they uncover powerful processes for you to realize your true potential. Are you ready for some magic wisdom? Life Engineering starts now.
To Life Engineering. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm just going to tell you one thing right now. And that is this show, this episode in particular with Gabriella, this is a must. Before I tell you about that, I want you to make sure that you visit coachingacademy.net. Coachingacademy.net. You'll hear more about it. Today's episode, are you ready for this, everybody? This is it. Best practices to end the year gracefully. Get your pen out, write some stuff down. Not sure what you're going to write down, but I want you to get ready because ending 2023 gracefully is a must. Gabriella, right? So important.
So important. The way you end it sets the tone for the way you start it. And let me just start by saying I woke up really excited about this episode today. So thank you for sharing this excitement with me. And I hope we pass this on to our listeners. So important. I love what John Miles says. Strong beginnings are ideal, but having a strong finish is epic. Yeah. And this is what this episode is all about. What are the rituals? What are the best way that we can end 2023, regardless of how the year went, regardless if you feel it was an amazing year or not? Because rituals are extremely important in our lives. And we know this, right? Forever we had, as humanity, we had rituals. They connect us to the present moment. They give meaning to our lives. They ground us. And they provide that meaning and avoiding, in order to avoid drifting. You know, drifting where, imagine if we had no rituals, we would just go, right? We wouldn't stop and celebrate or look back. It would be a continuous life. So rituals are extremely important in creating a life of intention and of course not a life of inertia.
Let me just mention something real quick because people get a little bit confused about what we mean. Now, I'm going to give you an example and you run with it. Okay. Returned recently back from the East Coast and Linda and I both, Linda's sitting down the hall now. So here's Sunday. Out of everything we could have done, I said, can you please help me? I want to clear things out. Can you help me go through my closets? Can we give things to Goodwill, a Goodwill? We have a Jessica pile. Now, people may think that we're thinking other kind. This was a ritualistic day for me, and it was amazing. And we still continue to do it. Second ritual, Sierra, Emily, Jessica, like holiday. This is Christmas holiday season. They're like, can we have a tree? So can we talk about this? Sometimes when we say rituals, people think you got to go to Peru, like for a week.
No. One of the rituals we love in our family is movie night, movie pizza night, right? And it's a thing our kids know. And this is the time when we just say the words movie night. It's obvious we're going to eat junk food. And it's obvious we're going to eat while watching TV. And that we're going to be together and we're going to have to decide on the movie together. So they have meaning. And I think we should have rituals for ourselves, rituals for our family, for our couple, at work. They really give a lot of connection. They connect us with people and with the present moment. They give so much meaning to our lives. They fill you up. Didn't you feel great after that day?
I'm still feeling great. And, you know, can I just say this? Because I don't want to take up a lot of time. There's so much to cover here. But can I say this? This is my best friend. And we've both been under a lot of stress for a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with what we're building here. Linda has come back from basically, Mary Jane says she literally has come back from the dead. from May 19th. And so there was something about starting 2024 or the new year that was important, but I can't explain it. When people ask me, I don't have a logical reason. So can you talk to that part of the ritual? Because sometimes you just feel like I've got to watch a movie tonight with some popcorn and the movie is going to be called The Creator. I don't know. But can you talk about this and how important it is? And also, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Oh, no. It does. Well, perfect is the need of the brain. What is perfect, right? Rituals are just about connection. Which, remember that episode we did about finding joy, which is about staying whole, even when difficult times, when we're dealing with difficult times, rituals help us stay whole, right? These are the moments when we stop, no matter what's going on, and we do what we do. So extremely important. And I can't wait to share. We're going to be sharing four rituals on how to end the year strong. Of course, these are mine, but you can take all of them or the ones that work for you. This is more for our audience. These are suggestions. And the first one is, of course, doing an year review. But when we look at the year review, we want to look at the wins. We want to look at the lessons. We want to look at the most magical moments. We want to look at the growth. And this, looking back, of course, it's so important because we always see we are able to connect the dots. Looking back help us connect the dots. And it helps us realize how much we have grown and advanced, whether we accomplished the goals that we had set or not. So this is not about saying, oh, this was my manifesting list and I only manifested a third of that. This is about looking at the person that started the past me a year ago, and the person that I am today. That's very empowering because as we're doing so, we're building the type of motivation that keep us going. We have an episode on the two types of motivation. We're building that internal motivation, which is actually the force that keep us going, regardless whether we're seeing results or not.
Yeah.
Make sense?
No, it is so important to do this and to talk about it. And, you know, I'm on air today and I get a lot of comments on my hair, right? And so I explained this. I'm going to talk more about it on the show with Mark. But I said, whenever I have gone through a transformational period in my life, I mean, seriously transformational, it's always been my hair. 1990, Sinead O'Connor haircut, I shaved my head. But there's something about that that's ritualistic for me.
That's
people
right.
Think I do it for how I look or no. This is time to lighten up. They also think I do it because I have gray hair. I don't. But that has nothing to do with it. People are curious and I say, look, it's a ritual for me. And this year, it's a year-end ritual.
Oh, I didn't know that about you. This is really cool to have. You know, so powerful is to realize how much we have grown. I was talking with one of our coaches yesterday. I was interviewing her. It's been a year and a half since she graduated. And she shared something with me. She shared that in the first month, she graduated in August, and in the first 3-4 months, she didn't actually have paid clients. And how she worked on herself, on her mindset with the tools we teach. And then all of a sudden, towards the end of the year, things started opening up. And the year after was a big breakthrough for her. She's full-time coaching. She's been on TV. She's been in the radio. And I said to her, imagine if in those months that you saw no results, you have quit. You wouldn't be where you are today. So again, the idea is that we have permission to continue even when we don't see results, right?
You know,
and by going and looking back at how much I have grown, even if you didn't accomplish your goals, the goals you have set, even if you didn't reach the targets you have put for yourself, when you go back and you look at how much you have grown, how much you have shed, transformed, let go, you're going to have that internal force, internal motivation to keep going and not quit.
Let's keep going here because you said something important. This is not an energy to quit by. There's an energy that is pulling people forward. but we have to help them. And that's what you're doing. Rituals help us take that leap of faith in things we can't see, right?
You said it so nicely. Absolutely. They help us connect to, that's right, to our faith.
Yep. Yeah, yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So I'll move to the second one. And the second ritual is, and you just practice it, is generosity, right? So looking back, but also the way we end the year. So let me explain. So in our family, giving is a value. We believe that a person should give as donations 10% of their income. Okay. So the first thing we want to review is how much money you donated that you can remember. If you have receipts, for example, how much money you donated in the year. That's part of an accomplishment for the year. People usually don't look at that. They do it, they feel great in the moment, but they don't look back and say, how much money did I donate? So that's one thing we want to look at. And if you didn't give as much as you would have wanted to or could, then set a goal for 2024 to increase that. You always want to increase, because when you give more, before you know you're going to make the money, you will for sure make the money. Okay. Yeah. But the other thing we want to do is we want to end the year by giving, by the ritual of giving. And this is huge. I know this is huge in North America too. Our kids bring food to school, but also in our family, you know? And it doesn't have to be money. Can I bake a cake for my neighbor? Can I help someone in need? So make a ritual to end the year with generosity. And there is a reason. There is a reason why when people are depressed, therapists will suggest with advice for them to volunteer. When we are doing something for someone else, we're actually releasing dopamine in the brain. That's why it feels so good.
Yeah. Yeah. This is one of the most important things. We got more to talk about, but I want to say this. It doesn't matter what book you pick up. You can go back thousands and thousands of years and see how this word was written. And it doesn't matter where you come from or what practice, but there is an energy about this. And 10% is right. That is what is mentioned a lot. But there's something more. When you end the year on a prosperity note, giving is just part of that, because without giving, there is this energetic resistance to receiving. And I don't think any of us want that, but it also feels good. Look, volunteer. I work with women in addiction and recovery, and I'm telling you, if they're not doing service this time of the year, we're going to have a sit down.
Big one. Absolutely. You know, we say, because sometimes, especially women, tend to overgive. Okay. We see that with holistic practitioners, with healers, they're always giving for free. So there must be a balance, like with every virtue, the virtue of generosity needs to be balanced, right? So the idea is, first of all, to give from a place of freedom and not obligation. Let's start with that, without expectations. Although we know you just mentioned the law of cause and effect, or the law of receiving and giving. But a healthy balance we're looking at in general, not just for giving, for even for thinking. We're looking at 40% you want to give to yourself, you want to focus on yourself, you want to think about yourself, and 60% you want to be offering your energy to others, whether it's thinking about others or giving to, or focusing on others. Yeah. If it's giving your time, of course. Yeah. So that's a nice balance, right? 40% us. The high spiritual books say 40% us, 60% to others. And there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's powerful. And can I just say this? This is simple to do.
It is
simple.
It's just a reminder.
It's
we're
just
not
a
sharing
reminder.
any new information here. Mm-hmm. It's just a reminder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because sometimes we do need to remind ourselves.
Yeah. Now this next thing you're going to talk about,
Yes.
I really want people to listen to you because out of everything we're going to share today, this is the one thing I think people don't realize that is important to do.
I love this one. I think it's going to become a new ritual for me together with gratitude. And it's about blessing yourself. So let's describe it. So usually on December 31st, we bless people, right? We bless our loved ones with happiness, bliss, prosperity, peace, health, everything we wish our loved ones. And we know that blessings are more powerful than curses. We know that. But yet, what we usually forget, we frequently default to cursing ourselves. So we're very good at blessing other people, but then we default to cursing ourselves with negative self-talk or inner criticism. We usually do that without even realizing. It's a habit. So we start saying, oh, I'm not good enough at this. Oh, this never works for me. That's cursing yourself. Oh, look at me. Oh my God, I can't believe I have more wrinkles. Oh, I'm so this, I'm so that. That's cursing ourselves. So the invitation here is to start the year with a very strong intention that the default is not criticizing ourselves or cursing ourselves. The default becomes blessing ourselves, but blessing ourselves on a daily basis. So what I like to do as the end of the year ritual is to create my blessing kit, okay? Basically, I write a card and I write it self-blessing kit. And I start with, this is how I do it. I start with Creator, thank you for my life. Thank you for the blessings in my life. And then I write what I bless myself for. So I will start, I bless myself that I am healthy and feel vibrant and vitality every day. I bless myself for continued success and fulfillment with the Coaching Academy. I bless myself that I get to see my children thrive and stay connected with them every day more and more. I bless myself, and then you make a list. You can make an endless list. And the idea is to, rather than say, this is what I want to manifest, we're not looking at that. We're not looking at what we want to manifest. We're looking at what we want to bless ourselves. And then once I write all the bullets, I bless myself that, I bless myself for, I bless myself that I have this, that I experienced this. Then I end by putting thank you. Thank you, Creator, for everything that I am, the good and the not so good, everything that I am, everything that I'm about to become. Again, we're prioritizing that growth we were talking about, everything that I have, and I am about to receive.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm opening myself to receive, yeah. And I say, yeah. Thank you.
And you know what? That is really all that we need to do, because the next thing that you're talking about is to plan the year. You see, but it's so much, I think if you don't do these first two things we've talked about, we're not an open vessel to plan for the next year, are we?
That's right. That's why the order, you got it. The order is the preparation for us to then plan the year. We said the more important things, we set ourselves, like you said, to create that container to receive, to create that mindset to receive. Let me just finish by saying that blessing card that I write, I usually put it next to my bed. And I will read it every morning or night or both, whatever works for you. Make it a sacred ritual. Now, people are familiar with the ritual of gratitude. This is a little bit different.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Because using the word bless on a daily basis, because you're reading that word, and if you're even saying it even better, when you're saying the word bless, that helps us feel and embody that energy. It helps us feel blessed and embody bliss. And that's what we want, right?
Totally. And the word itself is high vibration frequency.
Absolutely.
Completely. I love
Absolutely.
It.
Right. So, okay. So once we've done this, we have prepared ourselves, mind, body, spirit, to plan the year. So now we're going to come from a different place and mm-hmm. not just from our mind and ego. And people usually ask, what do I want? What are my goals? What do I want to accomplish? I recently started using a different word. So it's a slight variation of what would make me feel lucky.
I love this question. I love that you did this. I am so loving that you did this. When I looked at this, I said, is she really going to ask this question? It is a different feeling. Go ahead. Tell us why this question has become so
important. Let me tell you how I came up to this question.
Yeah.
Because I was doing a session with a client. And in the first session, we do an exercise called the coaches know the highest vision of your life. And I was asking this person to envision the most graceful vision of their lives. And they were having a hard time. So then I realized I needed to change my question because the words I was using were not resonating with her. So I said, you know what? What's going to make you feel lucky in life? What kind of life will make you feel like you're really, really lucky? And that was, I could see the shift in her energy. She was able to go there right away. And I said, I wonder if we start asking this question more often rather than what do I want? Because that's not always easy to answer, what do I want? And not only that, sometimes we default to what we're conditioned that we should want.
Definitely.
But with lucky, we're detaching, right? Because luck, we see it as magic.
Yep.
So what would make you feel lucky in 2024? That when you look back, when you do the year review, you would say, oh my God, I'm so lucky I lived that year.
I love this question because you know what it does? And I know we're going to talk about some other things, but what it does is it removes the barriers that that prevent us from really asking what's in our heart desire. It removes them because now we're talking about something that is basically a different energy and unlimited, right?
That's right. It's that unlimited energy. Absolutely. Although I think we build a lot of our lack, but yes. So you really want to open that question in your journal and leave it open, okay? Leave it open for you to come back to it because answers are going to pour whenever you mm-hmm. least expect it. And then, of course, from there you go, okay, what would be a game changer for me in each aspect of my life? That's another way you could ask, what would be a game changer in my personal life, in my social life, in my career? And then you want to narrow it to where do I want to see myself? What's the first milestone? Where do I want to see myself in 90 days from now? Don't try to do an action plan for the entire year, just the first 90 days. What do I want to focus on the first 90 days? Remember your future, your brain sees the future self as a stranger, so don't go too far, okay? Where do I want to see mm-hmm. myself in the next 90 days? So that would be the fourth ritual.
Yeah, I love this because it brings us to the end of the year, and I think there's a story you share every end of the year and you send out. Let's talk about that because it's a beautiful one.
Yes, every end of the year I send the same story. Because I want to hear it every end of the year. So I'm going to tell the story. I don't even remember where I heard it years ago. So a man walks into a store and he's actually amazed by the beauty of the store. It's sparkling. It's beautiful. It has a special energy. So he approaches the salesman that is on the counter and asks the salesman, what do you sell here? It's not very clear. The salesman's response, we sell God's gifts. And the man asks, well, how much do they cost? How much are they? The salesman reply, they don't cost anything. Everything at the store is free. So the man looked around and saw big containers of love, jars of faith, packs of hope, boxes of salvation, lots of wisdom, bales of forgiveness, big containers with peace, and many, many other gifts. He was, wow, I want it all, right? He was so amazed by the wonder, then he decided to place an order. And he said to the salesman, "Please, I would like to take the biggest container you have with love, all the forgiveness bales, a big jar of hope for me, for my friends, and my family." "Okay." The salesman went behind the counter, prepared the order, comes back, and gives the man a small package, small enough to fit in his palm. Now, the customer, the man, looks at him with disbelief and doubt, and he asks, "But how can everything I order fit in this tiny package?" So the salesman replied, he smiled at him, and then he replied, "In God's store, we don't sell fruits, only seeds. Plant them, and you will see the fruits you desire." That's the story. Mm-hmm. I think it says a lot.
It really does, because it is a reminder of everything you've just referenced and everything you've just talked about. And it also brings in hope, but a different kind of hope. You know, hope is a very tricky word for a lot of people, and it sounds like it doesn't have any action, right? But we've talked about hope before. Hope in action, though, is something else. But what you've just shared today is beautiful. I want to thank you for today. Thank you so much. Please give out the website. And what's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with, Gabriella?
I would like to say we always have the creator support. We have what it takes to live in alignment. We come equipped with that. Things we carry to fulfill our alignment, these gifts, these abilities, they come in the form of seeds. Even our desires, they come in the form of seeds, in the form of potential. But our job is to plant them, to plant them, to continue to care for them, to water them, to fertilize them with our actions, and then watch the fruits of our efforts grow. And that's what I really want to leave everyone with. When you do your manifesting list for the year, you know, people usually ask for the end goal. This is what I want. Try to ask for the seeds, for the means, the right people to come to you, the right knowledge to, yeah, the opportunities to take action. Engage, yeah, in that co-creative game. Don't ask for the results to come your way. Ask for the means for this to happen with ease and grace. And then you're going to see so much magic and luck. You're going to feel lucky because you get to work for what you care for what you love. And that's a life of no regrets. It's a life of intention.
Thank you so much. And as a sidebar, let me tell you, from a young age, the word lucky had special meaning. I even named my dog Lucky. Oh. Happy holidays, Gabriella. Thank you so much.
Happy holidays.
I have to go back over this because this is a new ritual now for me to incorporate. And I have to tell you, I've never been more grateful knowing that I'm sitting here today and my best friend is three doors down. And when I arrived on May 19th, Mary Jane Mack and others didn't know if she'd wake up the next day. That's how ill she was. This is a very special time for me, but I hope it's a special time for all of you. And I think, and I know Gabriella has made this a very special message. Thank you, Gabriella, so much.
Thank you, Dr. Pat.
Emily, thank you for running this show. And to all of you out there, we've got lots more. We have so much planned for you. Gabriella is outstandingly featured as part of that, because we're not giving up, we're not going away, and we're planning a year that is not for us, it's for all of you. So thank you for being the best audience on the planet. Namaste to all of you.
You have been listening to Life Engineering, processes that combine science, wisdom, and spirituality to create a life of alignment on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join host Gabriella Embon and Dr. Pat every first and third Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific for bi-weekly wisdom nuggets on how to create your perfect synergy between your mind, body, and spirit in order to realize your true potential. For more information, visit Gabriella at CoachingAcademy.net.